We're back, folks. It's another episode of the Call to Arms podcast. We appreciate you guys continuing to support and being here. If you're here, if you're listening to this, it means that you stuck through that little bit of a paternity break that I took. Thanks for all the warm messages and well wishes that I got from the Call to Arms community. The baby's doing great. The wife is perfect as usual. But let's talk basketball today. The podcast is back. And this episode, we are so proud to say, is presented to you in partnership by Prometheus.com. Shout outs to the guys over at 22. Over at Titan for partnering up with the podcast to bring us back from a long lull and to get us excited for a brand new NBA season. Basketball, not dead. Not dead whatsoever. We're going to talk a whole lot of hoops with the two most requested guests on this podcast. There's 10 things about the NBA that myself and Mo Twister are going to roll out. And then, just because I want to talk a little bit of sneakers and what's going on in the world of on-court signature shoes, the master, the GOAT, the greatest at what he does, of all the things he does, Jacques Slade at Cousteau is on the podcast. I've missed this so much, and I'm about to say it. But before that, hit up Prometheus.com. Oh, this is the great news I wanted to share. There's a brand new, for everyone who missed out on merch the first time, or if you got merch the first time and you want more, we get messages all the time, when's merch coming back, and so on and so forth. We have not just new merch, but we have a first-time collaboration. The Call to Arms podcast and Prometheus.com. We hooked up with Premi, and the Titan design team put together an incredible tee that reps both Premi and the spirit of Titan, as well as the Call to Arms podcast. It's super exciting, and it's available on Prometheus.com for a limited run between now and until Tuesday. So if you're listening to this, this is coming out on the 22nd of October, and you have until October 26th, if I'm not mistaken. That's a Tuesday, to go and order your tees. They did something cool as well, because when you order it, you're going to get a bunch of Titan-branded freebies as well. Could be tee, could be a hoodie, could be a crew neck. But the collab tee is really what you're going for. Again, it's Prometheus.com. They are bringing together our NBA preview and our Sneaker Talk podcast with Mo Twister and Jacques Slade. Everybody came out. Everybody came out for our first pod back. Let's go. My name is Nico Ramos, and this, I miss saying it. This is the Call to Arms podcast. Something going on around the islands. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing, I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer, the floor is lava. Something going on around the islands. Straight fire when we vibing, promise. Back on the pod. I'm still absent from his podcast.
Our podcast. How dare you.
From the best show ever. I'm still absent. And I'll probably still be absent for a few weeks. But okay. the birthday boy has been kind enough to indulge me to talk a little hoops. Mo Twister is on the podcast. Happy birthday, bud. Welcome to the pod.
Thanks for doing this. I appreciate that. Yeah, the NBA started on my birthday, which I think is the first time in, I don't know if ever, but at least in my
life. Right.
Where the game one was on my birthday. So it's a nice little birthday gift. And this is a nice little icing on top because, you know, I love your podcast. I always say that and I wholeheartedly mean it. I think it's one of the best out there. It's probably the best produced podcast out there, especially in a time of the year or the past few years where everybody and their mother has a podcast. Mm-hmm. Still, here it is, man. Call to Arms above the on top of the mountain, looking down at those amateur sounding pieces of podcast that are just sprinkled around everywhere. This is an amazing show to be on. And have I ever said no? In fact, you do that thing that I do with other people, which is like, hey, can you guess? Yeah, when? Now? You did that. And I'm like, yes.
I did so that much. On your birthday.
Yeah, all yes, right. So much yes.
Well, the pod is as good as it is because of the amigo. Toby from HR produces the podcast, and you know, he's here. He's lurking on the call as well. All right, so the NBA season is back. We wanted to do a preview of the season, a couple of weeks leading to the season, when it would be fresh, unbiased, and we wouldn't have a game's worth of actual data and on-court action to base our opinions on. So, because that's what the really smart people do, right? I mean, they don't really...
Fearless forecast. Yeah. I love the phrase fearless forecast, because it's like so scary to say something. I'm fearless.
But, I've all of my forecasts have been fearless, because I'm like, what's to fear?
I know, exactly. It's like one of the most, I don't know if overrated is the right word, but maybe just flat out stupidest phrases in all of sports media. What's your fearless forecast? I'm like, why? Who's scared about anything? The Nets are favored to win the championship. Are you scared? Gets you fearless work.
we used to have a show, you and I, called D-Day, yeah, where they try their best to just kind of like have us debate and yell at each other, and the way that they marketed that show is like fearless hot takes every week. In the meantime, you watch the show and we're like, hot takes are stupid.
It is, because they are. I mean, okay, hot take, I'm way more willing to forgive that, a hot take, because you can say dark horse hot take. There's all these kind of phrases of things that are maybe not as popular, but I'm gonna go say it and I'm gonna be different. Fine, whatever, I get it. But yung fearless forecast, like, I don't have a problem with that, because not one person has ever been terrified to give their prediction on what's going to happen. But I think we're going to do that today. So this is the fearless episode. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No fear. Like a vintage Manny Pacquiao boxing short. it's the 10. That's the format that we run with. We've done it before on this podcast, where Mo has five things, I have five things. Usually this is completely wide open. I remember we had Jason Magbanua do the 10 with us, and it was just anything and everything in the world. And one of his things was like, what is the GOAT Pinoy Ulam? It's usually just wide open like that.
Yeah. It is basketball.
But for this episode, because it is celebrating the NBA, it's only basketball. So we're limiting it.
Okay, well, first of all, let me jump in on that Jason Magbanua one, okay? So we all know that the GOAT Philippine, was it Ulam is what it was? Yeah. I'm going to go, you guys probably talked about that, so I'm going to go with the worst. The worst Philippine Ulam all time, Pancit Bihon. Easy, no worries, no debates there. No fearless forecast needed. Pancit Bihon, worst Philippine dish ever.
It's
low quality noodle, atay, just, you know, it's the man, it's so bottom of the barrel. So anyway, just thought I'd include that on my
you know when someone shows up, may party sa bahay niya, and someone shows up walking into your house and they have a bilao.
Yeah.
And it's a big bilao and it's wrapped, right? You don't know what's inside. That is the biggest dice roll ever, because it could be malabon or palabok under there, and you're like, oh, great. I'm going to have orange teeth all day. Doesn't matter. Give me three plates, right? That could be filled with sapin-sapin or like whatever dessert, right? Sure. That's fine also.
Could be something, right?
Pinoy spaghetti from Amber, right? Like with hot dog on it. Yeah, give it to me. And then barbecue, you open it.
Sticks. If it's barbecue sticks, of course, that's the golden thing, right?
You
open it and it's barbecue, you're in, right?
Yeah, but half barbecue stick, half lumpiang shai. But then there are people who hate you and come to your house bearing bihon, and of course you have to eat it. Kasi
it's garbage. Trash. It's garbage. Ugh, it's the Orlando Magic of food. Because I think they're gonna be the worst team in the NBA this year.
Orlando bihon. That being said, all right, I have five things, you have five things. We don't know what the other person listed down, so if there's overlap, then it could quite possibly be less than 10 things here. But let's start with you. What is number one on your list?
Okay, so we all know that Trae Young and Luka Doncic are forever, right, going to be not just BFFs, but when conversations are had of one, the other is going to be brought up. They were traded for each other for same draft, obviously, all that stuff. That photo of Luka shooting a three at the All-Star weekend and Trae looking kind of leaning in towards them, that moment that we saw a best friendship blossom
One of my top five NBA K-League moments, by the way.
Because they were smiling, and then, you know, of course, it was a half-court shot. It was great, right? But I'm going to go out and say Trae Young finishes higher than Luka Doncic in the MVP voting. Luka, I think right now, and by the way, I'm a Luka lover. You know this. I have Luka everything. Luka calendars, Luka. My whole life is Luka. But I'm going to say right now, Trae Young finishes higher in the MVP voting than the number one bet guy right now. If you were going to put money down, Luka to win the MVP, I think he's the number one choice. I say Trae Young finishes higher than Luka in the MVP. How say you?
I don't question why you're high on Trae, because the Hawks are good, man.
Yes,
the Hawks are good. I mean, did they overachieve last year? Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. They armed up, though. I mean, that was the point. They spent the money. They spent the money they needed to spend so they can get where they went. So I'm not 100% sure if that was overachieving.
Yeah, and also the Sixers definitely helped them a lot, because that was a series that the Sixers should have won. But then, well, we all know why Ben Simmons is where he is situationally with the Sixers. Right. So I'm with you. I don't even think the Hawks overachieved last year. And I think that they're only going to get better. They have a young core. Cam Reddish is going to be back. DeAndre Hunter is going to be back. And as much as it's other people that I'm saying right now, it's all going to help Trae, because he's the engine that keeps that going. He has narrative going with him now, because that's what you need to climb up MVP ladders, right?
And he was able to get that narrative in that Knicks series, right? Mm-hmm. Where he became Trae Young, the villain, when it came to the New Yorkers. But of course, everybody doesn't like the Knicks, so he kind of became a little bit of a hero if you were a non-New Yorker. So I think the narrative started really there for Trae, got them close. What would they? Did they win two in the Eastern Conference Finals, if I'm not mistaken, against the Bucks? So they were close. They were knocking on the door, right? And now, obviously, they're bad defensively. Even with Clint Capella, they're bad defensively, but they're deep, and we know deep teams with that kind of talent can make a deep playoff run. And if they do really, really well in the regular season, and I'm going to assume they're going to do better than the Dallas Mavericks, that's what's going to get Trae Young over Luka in voting. That doesn't mean Trae Young's going to win. I'm just saying,
right?
BFF, the battle of the BFFs. I'm going to say Trae Young's going to beat Luka, even though Luka is the number one guy right now for everybody. The number one choice, I think, for winning the MVP.
Again, not surprised by how highly you're placing what would be Trae's performance this season. My question to you is, and I know you want to root for Luka, right?
I
know the number one thing you want is to be wrong on this prediction and for Luka to actually be MVP. But the lack of faith that Luka is going to be MVP, or at least finish above Trae even in the MVP rankings, how much of that is because Jason Kidd is his head coach?
I mean, they're related somehow, right? Not usually the MVP goes to a team that is more successful, but it helps.
It helps.
For every Russell Westbrook who won the MVP, even though the team wasn't very good, they're still going to, Luka's going to have to do something extraordinary. I think Russell wins the MVP, even though his team wasn't one of the better teams, because it was something that we haven't seen in 50 years.
Right.
So Luka's going to have to do something like that, because I don't think the Mavericks are going to be as good. So is there a direct link to Jason Kidd? Yes, the Mavericks aren't going to be as good because Jason Kidd is their coach. And that's going to hurt his chances of being an MVP, because their record isn't going to be good enough. But obviously, they still need one really, close to all-star or all-star level player for Luka to kind of win this 2 out of 4 years type of thing, which maybe it will come, because he is only, 23 years old or whatever he is, 22 years old. I think there's a direct link with Jason Kidd. And now if Tim Hardaway Jr. really steps it up.
I was going to say.
but who knows, right? He's going to have to do something extraordinary, something we haven't seen. And Luka has been able to do that. Luka has been able to rack up in the short term some kind of, him and Jordan are the only two people that have been able to do this. If he can get enough of those, fine. Maybe he's got a better shot than Trae. But right now, I think Trae finishes a little higher.
And those Hawks versus Mavs games, there's only going to be two. If the race is close, maybe not for actual MVP, but for the purposes of this discussion, where those two rank in that MVP race, those two games against each other are going to mean a whole lot. And
unfortunately, it's the first game, though, for each other is going to be each other. So I don't know how much time has gone by. I don't know when that second matchup is, but we all know, of course, the first matchup, which hasn't happened yet, is as of this recording, it hasn't happened yet, but it is the first game of the season for the both of them. So maybe 82 games later, or how many other games are needed before that second matchup, which I don't know when it is. I wonder if people are still going to remember that, but
if it gets placed a little closer to voting, and again, we should check the calendar, but you know, then Kobe's 2008 MVP over Chris Paul, that is the thesis on some of these things getting decided on a close race, because that was a tight race, and Kobe outplayed CP in one game and won himself his MVP, when it could be argued, even by myself, a long time, very avid Kobe fan, CP had a case that year. All right, I will say this as a last piece about the whole Trey Luka thing. Of all of my takes, of all of my fearless forecasts, that's probably the one thing that I've had to apologize the most for, is when the Hawks traded Luka, when they had him at number 3 and they traded him to pick up Trey, who the Mavs got at number 5, I said that the Hawks would regret it for like years. Now, I still would pick Luka over Trey Young or anyone else in that draft. If it was a do-over, I would still pick Luka, and I still think Luka's a better player. But I don't think the Hawks are regretting that swap, and I think that's it's not as big of a difference as I thought it would be, and I've apologized for that profusely. I was wrong. Who am I apologizing to? Why am I saying sorry? I don't know, but we're wrong. We're wrong sometimes.
It could be argued that Atlanta got the best deal, the better deal. Honestly, it can be, because they got a great pick. Now, that pick didn't translate, but talent for talent, I don't think there's a really big gap between Luka and Trey. And to be able to get another pick, a first round pick in the next season, which turned out to be a really good pick, it just didn't maybe materialize, but that remains to be seen. I think they maybe got the better deal if you don't do the hindsight thing. Those two players were so good, and they are going to continue to be very good. But I totally love it.
All right, that's number one. On to number two. This one's the obvious one. I'm not sure if you have this on your list. I just wanted to make sure we get to it. Instead of splitting it up into two different items, and because everyone and their grandmother has been talking about it, I just want to position it this way. It's a race. Who suits up for their team first? Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn or Ben Simmons and his very, very petty Philadelphia 76ers?
I don't think Ben Simmons plays a game for the 76ers ever again. So that's a good question. I'm going to say Simmons plays first. And he's going to play for another team. Now, it's very hard to trade Ben Simmons, right? Mm. Because they're asking for the world. But I think at some point you're going to have to. So I think Ben Simmons gets traded. Kyrie, as we all know, if there's one person who can actually see the entire season without playing based on his own personal code, it would be Kyrie, right? So that's why I think a lot of people are somewhat, I don't know, unenthused about him stepping on the court this year. But, you know, he could be traded as well. I think that's, if I were Brooklyn, that's the route I'm going to take, because I can get really good value for him. You can't get great value for Ben Simmons, but you can for Kyrie. And I still think Ben Simmons is going to play first.
Do you think that the Sixers are now, do you think the suspension was, do you think they decided to suspend him before that practice even started? Because the story is... Right. So Ben held out, said, I'm not coming back. They put his money in escrow. We're not paying you. And guess what? We're also taking money off of this account per fine that we're giving you. So you don't even have to give us money. We're just taking away money that we're not paying you. And then he shows up at Wells Fargo right before they play a preseason game, unannounced. No one knows he's coming in. He shows up. He's like, hey, what? I'm here. Whatever. Let's go. And then there's footage from the practice. He's not even part of the huddle at the end of it, where everyone puts their hands in. He's just over there in the background. And then it's like, oh, 1, 2, 3 Sixers, or like 1, 2, 3 together, 1, 2, 3 family, or whatever it is, right? And then you see him in the back just walk away. And then in the next practice, the accounts have it that Doc Rivers asked Ben Simmons to join a defensive drill. Ben said no. Doc said, Ben, get in that drill. Ben said no again. And then Doc said, go home. And then they suspended him. My question is, do you think they knew they were going to suspend him before that practice even started and they were just looking for a reason?
No, I don't. I think Ben is getting himself suspended on purpose to just say, okay, you know, if you didn't want to trade me when I asked, I'm going to be worse. I'm going to ruin the culture in here. I'm going to ruin the mood. I'm just going to be a pain in the ass. I'm going to practice with my phone in my pocket, which is my favorite of all of the Ben stuff. Because if you see, have you seen the footage? Have you seen the photos of him practicing when you see the outline of his phone in his shorts?
That's what he gets for getting a 13 Pro Max.
Yeah. Like that's what I love. So I think Ben is in control here. He's the one who's like, okay, I'm going to show up and watch. I'm going to be such a pain in the ass. Such a pain in the ass that now you really have no choice but to let me go. And I think the ball really is in his court in that sense. He is the mastermind here. He is going there on purpose. I don't think I think the Sixers want to play him. I think the Sixers would be like, hey guys, can we just all get along? Can you please apologize? Embiid's going to be fine. Danny Green's going to be fine.
That's what Danny Green said. Yeah.
Right. And as Danny Green said, we're one of the best teams, if not the best regular season team in the East. When you're here, let's just continue that. And Ben's like, no, no.
Okay.
Put my phone. So I think he is the one calling the shots on how he can get out of there. And right now he's activated I'm going to be the most annoying, just what they call, right, a locker room cancer, just so I can get out of here. And if you didn't do it remotely when I was on remote, guess what? I'm going to do it now in person.
So that brings me to my next thing. And this is something that we have a lot of experience talking about from our time on our podcast on the Best Show Ever edition of Good Times. Is Ben Simmons acting like that boyfriend who can't break up with his girlfriend, but is acting like a total prick so the girlfriend breaks up with him? The self-sabotaging partner in a relationship.
Almost. Because I think Ben can break up, but he loses.
He tried. They wouldn't let him.
Yeah, right. He loses too much in the breakup. So now he is doing that thing where
he did the whole, we're broken up. That's it. I'm never coming back. And right. Then partner goes, hindi, I don't accept it. Tayo pa din.
No. Here's what I think. I think Ben's like, I want to break up with you. And the partner, the 76ers in this case, are like, okay, let's split everything we have in half. And Ben's like, no. So like, okay, well then you're the one who wants to break up. You should be able to be okay with this as like the settlement. Ben is like, okay, then I'm not breaking up, but I'm going to be the worst boyfriend ever. Then you're just going to pay me to leave. That's what I think he is. I think he's capable of breaking up. He's not the torpe guy. It's just, he wants to break up, but he doesn't want to lose at the same time. He is the epitome of what is it? What's a very, very famous phrase? Something about having your cake and eating it or all that. He wants that. I want to break up and I want to break up on my terms. And 76 is like, nope. He's like, okay, well then I'm just going to be the worst boyfriend of all time.
He looks it too, right, Ben?
Oh,
he looks like
he's activated his Australian accent as well. Like when he's now at practice, it'd be like, hey, Ben, get on the floor. Fuck now.
Because he lost it. There was no Australian accent for years. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to tell that he was Australian for years.
Fuck off, mate. He's just like this completely different dude now. That's what I think is going on. Anyway.
Shout out Ben Simmons. I hope that things get resolved for you and the Sixers very, very soon. You know why? Because I can't wait. This is the one thing I really, truly can't wait for. I can't wait for Joel Embiid to truly be let free. He's already starting to talk smack about Ben to the media. But you can tell Joel's kind of holding back a little bit because there's a small chance here that in 2 months, we're going to be teammates again. I'm going to need to cohabitate with him. But if Simmons is on another team, Embiid gets free reign to troll on him,
yes,
that's probably going to be the most entertaining thing we'll have all season. So that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, Embiid's holding back because he's like, we got to get trade value for this guy. Because whoever gets traded for, I'm like, it's going to be directly linked to my success. But the moment this a-hole here is gone, oh my God, give me the, I can't reach for a microphone faster. and it'll be on. Oh, I can't wait for that day. It's going to be a beautiful day.
All right. Number three. Well, what do you have?
Okay. So here we go. What does LeBron need? What does LeBron need to finally be called the legit GOAT? What needs to happen? He was amazing in game one, right? I mean, the Lakers lost, but he looked fantastic. He's third all time in scoring. He's going to catch Karl Malone this season. He will catch Karl Malone. He's only 1,500 points away from Malone for the second all time. And then he's going to catch Kareem next year and be the all time leading scorer in the NBA. He's 3,000 points away from Kareem. Is that what it's going to be? Once he catches Kareem next year, are we going to go finally? By the way, I'm not a LeBron fan. Just everybody out there. I prefer him not to be considered the unanimous GOAT, but what else does he need, Ramos? He's knocking on the door of maybe one of the sexiest records of all time leading scorer. And he's 3,000 points away from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He could do it next year.
No, I don't think. I think there's very few realistic, achievable things that he can do for people who...
To surpass Michael?
Who believe... Michael. To convince people who believe that MJ is the GOAT, to change their minds. Because there's things he can't undo. The losses in the finals and the perceived weakness of joining or forming super teams. Now, I don't necessarily think of either of those two things as qualifications for or against either Jordan or LeBron. I think that the greatest of all time argument kind of lives so much more with context, and it's kind of really super hard to kind of talk about in a vacuum. That being said, I think Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. I think that, you know, and anyone who thinks it's LeBron isn't wrong. I just don't think that there's an objective way to
Do you even put him as number two, though? Because I'm not even sure I'm convinced he's number two. Like that just shows you, again, I'm not a LeBron guy. I'm not here to try to get you guys to vote. Like, LeBron is like Bong Bong Marcos to me. I don't want him to win. Okay. But maybe not that evil. But, you know, I don't even know if he's top three for me. And this is a
he's number two for me.
This is the conversation that's going on for 10 years. This is nothing new. But I want to know, as we open this season, what else does he need to be? What else does he need to achieve? And you're saying there's nothing.
I don't think so. He could win five straight NBA championships. But hear me out here. He could win five straight NBA championships, five straight NBA Finals MVPs, gets the scoring record, obviously, and obviously surpasses MJ in the title count, the Finals MVP count, right? Maybe two more regular season MVPs in that run. He could do that, right? And the people who believe it's MJ will continue to believe that it's MJ because that's just how people are now with information. You brought up the whole Bong Bong Marcos thing. That's the best example because you ask people, ano ba nagawa ni Bong Bong Marcos? People respond to, hey, P.I. ka. No, I'm genuinely asking, why do you like Bong Bong Marcos for president? And the answer is, P.I. ka.
Well, now Bong Bong's really more like MJ than he is. Yeah. Like LeBron, right?
Yeah, what is Bong Bong's like best trait to become president? It's a question. People don't listen to reason.
But you know what's funny? Because the Lakers wear yellow, gold, however you want to say it. And the way I think, at least what I'm getting from what you're saying, is that if you're an MJ fanatic, you'll always be an MJ fanatic. You don't care what LeBron achieves, but the BBM is your guy.
Yeah.
Oh, what? That's it. Dilawan, you wear gold. You're a Laker fan. That's why you're saying LeBron's in this conversation.
Ano nagawa ni Bong Bong? Google mo na lang. Ginugol ko, walang lumabas. PI ka!
Of course, this is not blasphemous to Michael Jordan. I'm with you. I think Michael Jordan is the best player of all time. I'm not 100% sure, like I said, that LeBron's even number two, to be honest. I might put Kareem in number two. We'll see.
Yeah. And I can't bring myself to kind of get into the arguments of the greatest of all time things because people have very different qualifications for it.
Sure. And I don't think it's even a smart conversation to have.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know what? He's got some milestones, some pretty sexy milestones coming up this season and next season. I just wanted to ask you guys, maybe for the listeners, because I know in the end, you want a lot of people to engage. So let me throw it out for you. This is not a conversation that Nico and I would really have off air. It's not a conversation that someone will win or someone will make a point that would convince. Like you said, realistically, we won't. But listeners, eat it up. There's a milestone right in front of your face this season and one even better next year. So all you LeBron fans and haters, what does he need to do to finally be called the GOAT? Now, some of the stuff that Nico just said, I don't think that that's realistic. If he won X amount of championships or X amount of MVPs, it's not realistic he won't win it. But if he does, in your exaggerated example, if he achieves those things, I think unanimously we would say he was the best of all time.
Then you have much more hope in people than I do. Is what that means. Over four on the list. There's a wealth of NBA-related content and podcasts out there, and this person probably doesn't get talked about as much. I have a soft spot for him. I'm not really sure why, but... And this isn't even a question. It's just a name. Number four on the list, Kevin Love. It doesn't seem like he wants to be traded out of Cleveland. It seems like he just wants to stay there. He doesn't want to get bought out or anything. He said that. He wants to stay there. He throws a tantrum on court because of what his young, developing Cav teammates do, at least probably once every 30 games or so. And sure. Just Google Kevin Love tantrum, you're going to see a couple of them. And they're all magnificent.
And he's usually looking at Sexton when he's pissed off about something. But yes, no, I agree.
Yeah, but like, is this it for our guy? He was blasphemed by Jerry Colangelo in the Olympics and just got his reputation just dragged through the mud. It was a drive-by shooting, and Kevin Love was standing there as an innocent participant in it. Jerry Colangelo comes in and just starts wrecking his name and reputation. But is this it? Like, are we going to see Kevin Love kind of get traded or bought out, and then there's a Blake Griffin chapter in his story where he's a contributor in a contending team?
No, I think it's been it for a while, and we are the only ones that we're just kind of hoping, but you should lose hope at this point with Kevin Love. I think if Kevin Love were ugly, maybe we would have left this a long time ago. He is the best looking man in the NBA. Okay, he is. Don't even say, oh, Devin Booker's the best. No, he's not. Kevin Love is the best looking man. Kelly Oubre is really hot. No, Kevin Love is the most handsome NBA player. Now, kung pangit siya, maybe we wouldn't care so much. We're rooting for this guy. He looks like Superman. He's hot, right? And you want him, but too many people do what he does. He used to be one of a handful, right? Mm. Big guys, rebound at elite level, could shoot threes. He could kind of just, was a outlet passes are fantastic.
But the outlet pass, Mo, the outlet pass.
I get it. But it's because he's bulky. There are other guys who can do it. There are other guys who can do that already. And I think it's brilliant that Kevin doesn't want to get traded to maybe one of these contenders, because then there's a spotlight. Like right now, he's good. He hasn't played in like 5 years. He's good, right? He hasn't played any meaningful games. Just sitting there, gets his check. Maybe doesn't want the attention. And I respect that.
This is one of those things that I nerd out about, and I'm not sure if other people do, but remember when Kevin Love grew out his hair a little bit, and he didn't have a Terry headband. He didn't have a traditional like sports headband that LeBron wears, or that other like Rip Hamilton wears, not that kind of headband, but he had kind of like that string. And then he put it over his bangs to push his bangs down. And he was always all sweaty. And like, it just looked unruly. He made a conscious effort na pumangit, and it still didn't work.
And if you don't agree that he doesn't look like Superman or he's not the best looking man in the NBA, just go quickly right now. Google search, hit images, go Kevin Love Banana Republic ad, and you'll see the pictorial. Holy crap, this guy is hot. He ages like Richard Gere. He's like, oh my god.
Yeah, plus he's an inspiration to all of us chunky boys. That's right. He was a big boy. Yeah. And then he decided I'm just gonna look slim now. I think it hurt his game a little bit, but other than that, he's looked fantastic. All right, he's number four on the list. Not a lot of time dedicated to Kevin. I just was hopeful. I just was hopeful that there might be more to the more meat on that Kevin Love future, but guess not.
Yeah, no, that ship has sailed. It's just because he's good looking. Bah, bah. Pangit yan, wala na tayong pakialam dun sa Kevin Love na yan. Here we go.
Number five, go for it.
LaMelo Ball. All Ooh. NBA. All NBA player this year.
Ooh.
All NBA LaMelo Ball this year. This season.
How many All NBA teams are there? Three.
So 15 guys.
Six guards.
Yes. Is that how the All Star? No, there's a center in the All NBA.
Yeah, so there can only be six guards.
Oh, six guards. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Six guards. Yeah, two. Right.
Okay, so let's list them down. So who are the five guards for sure? Yeah, okay.
Steph. So Luka. Right. Luka's gonna be there again. Yes.
He's gonna be I think he's a guard. He should be categorized.
Yeah, he is. So
they finagle with this sometimes, right? But yeah. For the purposes of this, Luka's a guard. He's a point guard. He should be there.
Okay. All right. Trey, because I just said Trey was going to finish higher than Luka. Now all of a sudden, I don't feel so strongly about that. I want to see how James Harden does this year. I think you kind of just have to keep him there because he's still somewhat elite, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially without Kyrie.
Yeah.
The assist numbers are going to go up. He's going to be handling the ball a whole lot more. He's always healthy for the most part.
Until
he decides to not be healthy, but for the most part, you can count on James Harden playing.
Fair enough. That's four. So there's two spots here. Now, who are the major names that are going to populate these next two spots? Obviously, Dame Lillard, right? Mm-hmm. Bradley Beal, I would say, would be another big name for this. Jimmy Butler, that's small. Probably more small forward, right?
Yeah, let's not have Jimmy in this. It complicates things.
Okay, all right, fine. Chris Paul would be considered here.
Okay.
I'm not convinced there are others. Jalen Brown, if he has an amazing year, maybe has a chance at this. I think LaMelo Ball is an all NBA player this season.
So who are the four we've locked in again? It's Steph,
Harden.
Steph, Harden, Luka Doncic.
And did I say, was it Beal who I said was probably going to be a lock for? And then, you know, a toss up between Lillard, LaMelo.
So you can even put Lillard in there, right? So those.
Oh,
so
yeah, fine. Fine. If you want to put Lillard there.
Top five.
Okay, fine.
Right?
Because
Beal and Lillard, that's pretty close. Yeah. So LaMelo's holding on right now.
Trey's
in there.
Trey's going to fill the five spot. So that last spot's going to go to Lillard, Beal, or Ball. And I think it's going to go Ball. Ball. Wow. I know. Call me crazy.
Well, it's...
At some point, the Lillard thing is going to just be like, okay, guys, all right, fine, we know he's good, but I mean, just... There's no narrative there when it comes to Lillard, and there never really was. Maybe he had a little bit of buzz... 1 year or even half a year, but it's easy to throw the Lillard fanaticism or buzz or craze. It's easy to put that aside compared to those other names and enter LaMelo Ball to take that spot.
So the four locks that we have right in betting speak are Steph, Luka, Trey, James Harden.
Yeah.
Okay. So okay, that's fine. Four. Yeah. So yeah, between right. those others, unless we're missing someone else, between Dame, Brad Beal and LaMelo Ball. Two of those are
going to make it.
Are going to make it. If you think CP3 is going to play a full season and not get hurt, then you can maybe throw his name in there.
They got to do well. They got to do just as well as they did last year, by the way, for him to even have a shot. They got to do really, really well.
The 13 Utah Jazz fans in the world are asking where Donovan Mitchell is and all this.
No, pass. Maybe you dare say a Ja Morant dare, but not still. No. I'm going to go. Fine. Let's go.
The Bulls are saying Zach LaVine has a loaded team with him this year.
Okay. Yeah. No. I mean, you're not.
I'm just listing candidates.
This is not hogwash. But to tell me, LaMelo Ball, All NBA, 21-22.
Don't tease me like this, because you know I want it to happen.
Why do we want LaMelo Ball to do it?
He's so fun.
He is fun. No, he's awesome.
He's so fun. And I love that he's a product of the reality show machine that we all hated when it was happening.
Yes, yes. And I'll tell you right now, he is a first round fantasy pick next season. This season, he shot up, I think, to the second round. You should have got him in the second round. You couldn't get him if you didn't get him in the second round. This is a first round player next year. But for this season, I think he will be one of the top six guards in the NBA, and he will win an all NBA, or, you know, he'll place in an all NBA lineup. Now, whether that's second team or third team, it's not going to be a first teamer, but maybe even dare say as high as second teamer.
The amigo Toby from HR, who is a diehard fan of the Phoenix Suns, is on mute, but he's yelling out Devin Booker's name as loud as he can right now.
Devin Booker's stock has fallen. And
nah, he was ass today.
His stock has fallen. Maybe it's the Kardashian curse. Who knows? I'm saying LaMelo wide over Devin Booker. Sorry, Toby. I mean, you know, I know. Listen, I'm not a Hornets fan. Just giving you the truth here.
So no D'Angelo Russell love.
Dude, what? Of course not. Of course not. He'll make seventh and all NBA team, maybe. But yeah, no, absolutely not.
I mean, Jamal Murray is not playing this season. Klay's not going to be playing enough games.
Like Kyrie's not playing this season.
Kyrie's out.
Yep.
Ben Simmons is a guard.
Yeah.
On some lineups, and it doesn't look like he's playing.
Sorry. That's it.
This isn't crazy. Yep. This isn't crazy.
Write it in stone.
Essentially, what we're down to is, oh, hey, honorable mentions, Book, Zach LaVine, Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, CP3.
Maybe I'll put Drew Holiday's name in there as a strong two-way guard. No, he's going to make an all-defensive team, but he's not going to make an all-NBA team. That spot is reserved for LaVar Ball's youngest son.
I mean, there's four slots we're locking in, and then two spots between Dame, Brad Beal, and LaMelo Ball.
It'll be Dame and LaMelo. That's it. I'm in. Sorry, Book. Sorry, Beal. Sorry, guys. Took too long to get here. You guys took too long to get here. We like the youngins.
Don't tease me. Now I'm watching out for it. Now if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be incredible.
It will happen. Trust me, it'll happen. Go.
Number six on the list. I want to pull on your heartstrings a little bit here. Probably the last time we can talk about him in the NBA context, because he's officially announced retirement, and the Lakers were quick to say, as quick as possible, to say, we got a spot for a number 16 up in the rafters for the next 5 minutes or so. I just want you to have on record once again, because you've gone on record multiple times, but at least on this podcast, tell us why you are.
How?
So in love with one Mr. Pau Gasol.
Because he mixes this rare, and it is truly, truly rare, a rarity that even my replacement for favorite player, Luka Doncic, doesn't have. Pau Gasol is an elite basketball player and an elite human being. And that you will not find a soul of the 7 billion here on this planet. You might not be a Powell fan. You might not be a Laker fan when he was there. Or you might not be a fan of any of the teams that he kind of stopped before retirement, but you're not going to find one person to say that he's not a good human being. And that's really, really important for me. And I know that must be shocking. Like, Mo, really? You're like bum-bum-tongue asshole. I'm like, yes, I know. But let me tell you, I love this. Yeah, I love this guy for what he is on and off the court. A guy who, as you can, I mean, well, you know, as sad as what happened to Kobe is, for especially for Laker fans, guy like you, and basketball fans in general. But you've just seen how important Kobe's children are to the Pau. I mean, the ultimate Tito, the ultimate godfather, the ultimate humanitarian, charity guy. Like, just all of these things while represented his country like freaking mad in world competitions, and was just an all-around great, great, truly great NBA player. So that's why I love him, because
almost didn't play basketball.
Yeah, yeah. Almost could have been a classical musician, doctor. I mean, he's
to be a doctor, yeah.
Right, med school, but also classical pianist. I mean, just all around, not just nice guy and great player, smart, just everything. Dude, everything. So, while it might be shocking for someone to say, who's your favorite player of all time? For somebody who's a non-Spaniard to say, Pau Gasol. You just have to kind of look at the guy, know a little bit about him, and go, yeah, no, I'm a fan. I'm not going to say greatest of all time, but I'm never going to say anything bad about him. And I just take it to the next level. I just think the human side of him is just too elite, and the basketball isn't too shabby as well.
Pau Gasol could get into a car accident and run over your pets, and you'd be like, Pau, I'm sorry my dog was in the way. Right. Pau, that's my fault. My dog, he didn't have a leash. Salan and Gran. Sorry.
Okay, fine. I'm going to find one flaw. One flaw. You ready?
Yeah.
He didn't age as well. You see that first year, and we were talking about this whole Kevin Love good looking thing. Did you see how like Pau Gasol was in year one? And then just, he looks like a completely different human being. He's retired.
Like, he looks like different dudes. He looks like the dad of rookie him.
Exactly. Has aged.
I want to approach 2021 Pau Gasol, show him a photo of Memphis Grizzlies Pau Gasol, and say, sir, guapo no anak niyo.
No, I mean, let's take our photos. Now, I know you're a much, much younger guy than I am, but I am older than Pau, a little bit, very, very slightly. But you can take a photo of me when I'm 21, and you can take a photo of me now, and you're like, okay, maybe gained a little bit of weight, looks a little dad body, but you can see, oh, okay. No, there's
that's
some
his face.
There.
Same yeah, this, face.
That's the mo. You put Pau rookie year versus Pau retirement year. Those are two different people.
As you said, it's been a long career of no summers resting because of playing for Spain. Not just in the Olympics, by the way, but also in the World Cup, which is a very important distinction. Because it's hard to find, especially in the context of U.S. basketball, Team USA guys, you usually pick one or the other, right? So
yeah.
he has put in the work, qualifying tournaments. He's played in all of them for Spain. So I just wish
he had a roof over his house. I mean, God, some SPF on you, Pau, because boy, like he was out in the elements. But maybe that's part of the charity work, right? I mean, he spent a lot of the offseason in some rougher areas and doing a lot of stuff for the Gasol Foundation. So, a roof would have been nice. Maybe a Tita umbrella out in the heat. Pau, huh? Could have done that. But love this guy. However, my next thing is this. And you and I have talked about this on GTWM, but GTWM is not a basketball podcast. So maybe many of your listeners have not heard this. So I might as well hot take it now. If we want to talk about favorite player of all time, favorite international player of all time, let's talk about this. Giannis Antetokounmpo. And maybe some of you guys are be like, hey, Mo, you're such a, like you, why do you put these new guys at such high praise? They're new. They're current. They're flavor
recency
of the
bias.
Recency bias. They're flavor of the month. What's up with all this all time talk with some of these guys who are not even 25 years old? Giannis Antetokounmpo already. Best international player of all time.
Ooh.
That's right. I said it. God damn it.
Ooh. Right. Okay. Okay. Yes. Now
I feel like Stephen A right now saying some stupid shit.
Now no. I remember having this conversation before with you and you weren't so sure yet. I think you posed the question months back before the title, before the playoff run. I remember you posing the question months back, just asking, where is Giannis in the ranking of best international players of all time? And I remember I made this important distinction. Hakeem Olajuwon, I consider him American.
Okay, but he's not.
Yeah. But I mean,
he went to college here, right, and all that stuff. But yeah, fine. Here, meaning in the US.
But more importantly, has a gold medal for Team USA.
Okay, yeah, even stronger of an argument. Yeah. So what you're saying is Giannis, sorry to cut you off, but so what you're saying is because he's got that gold medal for USA, then he's not in competition, hence Giannis is the single greatest international player.
I think that Hakeem would be, and you know, maybe people agree with me, maybe they don't, right? But Hakeem would be, I think, the strongest case against Giannis. Because it's not Dirk. All due respect to Dirk.
Yes,
love Dirk.
Love unstoppable Derek. Shot, but you didn't defend. You didn't defend like Akeem did.
You want to talk about Powell, one of the all-time great guys as well, it seems like, Dirk Nowitzki, right?
No.
No one says anything bad about him, right? Love him. It's not him. Not Manu.
Not him. It isn't. Yep. It's not Manu either. Right. And I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Not Manu. Not Yao. Career was too short.
We're near Yao. And for the same reasons, not Arvydas Sabonis.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, man. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Toby's probably like going, why do we guess this guy?
But let's run through it. Let's run through it.
Back-to-back MVP. Got a title.
Who else is in the running, right? Not both Gasols, as much as you obviously love them.
Yeah, certainly not. And I'm okay knowing. Okay, let's see. I'm a little Google search. Best NBA international players, right? It's going to be the names though. The top of this list is going to be Akeem, right? Easy. And then it's going to be Dirk, right? What I'm saying is Giannis has already surpassed these guys. He's been able to do things that these guys haven't been able to do. Let's just keep it Giannis versus Akeem, because I don't think anyone else is good enough.
Sure.
Let's throw some names here. Just for the sake of it, let's throw some names. Peja Stojakovic? Hell no. Vlade, please. Detlef Schrempf, love him. Of course not. Tony Kukoc, no, thank you. Manu, okay. Dikembe Mutombo, fine. Maybe we'll have a little chat. Steve Nash, okay, sure. Absolutely. Strong contender, whatever. Yao, Andy Bogut. Now, we're getting into like real shit, right? Bogut, Kyrie Irving, Dominique Wilkins, Patrick Ewing, Mark Powell, Kirilenko, Drazen. I think Drazen has a lot of good narrative around him. Sabonis. Those are like...
But Drazen, career, not long enough.
Yeah, right. No, for sure. And you know, maybe wouldn't even be in the top 15, though. So Giannis has been able to win
Tony
back-to-back MVP, right? He won a defensive player of the year in the same year as an MVP. In the finals, when it mattered, he dropped a 50 spot. He does things that I think Hakeem was never able to do, though he can do things that Hakeem was great at. Like Hakeem didn't dish the ball the way Giannis does. Hakeem didn't go from one side of the court to the other side of the court and crush it down your soul in six steps.
Two dribbles.
Right. I don't even know. He might have even done it in less. Maybe they did four steps. Two dribbles down your throat. Hakeem could never do those things. They didn't have the ball handle. Now you say, you could say, but you know, he's probably had a better jump shot. Fine. But the number's there. The hardware is there. The title is there. Could have another one this year. Could have three, four more before he's done. He's been able to accomplish things that all the other international players haven't been able to accomplish at this age.
So Canadian Andrew Wiggins, not in the discussion.
It was close. Obviously the best Canadian, Steve Nash, right? Probably the best Canadian player all time, right? And then I can, Steve Nash has got some hardware. He's got some fuel for this conversation, but he's not the two-way player that Giannis is. And you know, when you talk to me, okay, you know, I bring up both ends of the court. If you're not elite at both ends of the court, we're not having a really extended conversation. And that's why Hakeem is the threat to my claim, is because Hakeem was elite on both sides. Dirk was not, Nash was not, Luka's not, you know, Powell was okay defensively, but certainly not in the conversation that we're having.
Jokic, no.
Jokic, absolutely not.
Gobert, no.
Nope. I mean, Mark, but Mark's not the offensive player that some of these guys are. Guess all I'm talking about, who won a defensive player of the year award. So even Yao, right? Some of these names. Manu, some of those names that have been in the Dikembe, of course, but Dikembe, not the offensive player that these guys are. So two-way player, it's Akeem, it's Giannis, and I think Giannis can do more things than Hakeem. And Hakeem, all of his great talents, I think Giannis is close to all of the great stuff that he can do, yet Giannis can do things far superior than Hakeem can. In my book, he's got the hardware to back it up as well.
No, I'm with you, especially me, because like I take FIBA much more seriously than most other people. And the fact that you're an Olympian for the United States even though it's through a naturalized process or whatever it is that they had to do to get Hakeem on the 96 Dream Team, that takes you off contention for, which is not to say that Hakeem's not great. Hakeem's one of like the best players to ever do it. They're doing this list of 75 greatest players ever. If Hakeem's not on there, I'm throwing a fit.
Oh, he's gonna be, Giannis is going to be there too.
Exactly. Yeah. Hakeem, all-timer. But in the discussion of foreign players, he forfeited that right to join that race.
You know what you're doing right here, Ramos, is you're completely disagreeing with me, but because you're being a gracious host, you're going to bring up the loophole.
Oh, no. I think even with Hakeem in it, I think that because of what we saw in the finals, the last time we talked about this, I didn't agree with you. I said that Giannis is it if Hakeem's not part of this the discussion. If Hakeem's part of the discussion, it's still him. But after what we saw in the finals and after what we saw in the playoff run, then I think that Giannis has maybe not it's as big of an has a big of an edge as you think there is, but I think that there's a sliver.
I don't think it's got a big edge at all. Just to let you know, I don't think this is a debate that I'm going to leave any strong conversation like easily going, yeah, you guys are morons. I think Giannis is the best international player of all time already, but I'm open to losing that. You know what I mean? Like I'm not taking this to the bank the way I'm taking LaMelo and all the NBA teams this season. All right. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Number eight. There's been a lot of rookie year versus now photos that it always comes up, right? Giannis is one of the best.
Oh, my God.
Then versus now photos in the NBA. We talked about Pau Gasol, right? Yeah. Then versus now. The rookie photo of Zion Williamson next to a photo of him during, I think it was media day interviews. And if you can even believe it, I think there was like 30 pounds of difference between rookie him and current him. Now, I mean, from one fat boy to another, I do not encourage weight shaming, and I really don't think it's anyone's business to talk about another person's weight, unless maybe that weight of yours directly contributes to how effective you are as a cornerstone, as a franchise, and as the guy that was sold to us as the next great player in the NBA.
Yeah.
How much Zion Williamson stock do you still own, or are you selling?
Oh, I'm selling because he is just too big. And it's not like Shaq big because he doesn't have the height. And Shaq wasn't, while powerful, didn't rely on speed. Yeah, like, dude, let's be honest. Zion is fast for that size. But he is very young with some considerable injuries already to his foot and a knee that I don't think his speed is sustainable. So it's sustainable year after year. So he doesn't have the height to dominate for 20 years. I'm going to sell, but I don't want to sell without seeing.
You don't want to sell all of it.
Four, five, just amazing. Just, oh my God, years from Zion. And then when he hits, as he gets closer to 30, we're going to see that decline. And once he passes 30, we're going to see a incredibly sharp decline and maybe even before 30. But right now, let's hope he's back quickly from his foot issues, his surgery, and then we can just at least give us a taste of a couple of years of just this amazing specimen of a human being. I love Zion. I really, really do. But I think we just kind of have to be realistic. He's just way too big. That speed and that explosiveness is just not sustainable.
And I think the important distinction to make between him and Shaq is Shaq didn't play in this pace, in this era of basketball. I mean, Big Shaq, right? I mean, because I think Big Shaq would have, contrary to what he believes, severely struggled on the defensive end of things. No one can guard him like across any era. But just one of the craziest things to me is there's a stat that floated up a few years ago, right? That the 7 seconds or less Suns, the pace that they played in, if you inserted it into the current NBA, they'd be the last. They'd be the slowest team in the league. Because that's just how fast the NBA is right now. And I remember Shaq trying to keep up with the 7 seconds or less Suns. The reason the 7 seconds or less Suns became the 7 seconds or less Suns was because they didn't have a Shaq or a Yao or, a Rashid, right? Like a legitimate post threat. They had Amari, who was a 6'8" center.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean,
But if Shaq did come around, in these times, he would still be the foundation of your franchise, right?
Absolutely.
He would still be the focal point of your offense, and he would still be an elite defender. You would just have to work around it because you're talking about once a generation type of talent. I mean, it's not like Nikola Jokic is like blazing through. He's a big kind of chunky boy too, but obviously he's got a skill set that Shaq doesn't have. I'm just saying, you know,
and that's my point, I guess, to your Zion point. That's actually in support of it. I don't think that he has so far proven to have an elite offensive skill, signature skill, the way that Shaq has in the low post, the way that Nikola Jokic has with his outside shooting and passing, that makes up for what he would lose if he continues to get this large.
Right. Or sustain more injuries. Because I don't think he's going to get larger. Like, he's not going to get fatter, right? But he's going to have more injuries. And that's what's going to be the downfall. Not his weight. It's, he can carry the weight. And he can do what he wants to do with his frame. But his frame will break down. And that's just the problem. It's kind of like Yao, right? Yao was great when he was healthy. Boy, was Yao amazing. But they're just too big, too heavy. And now, Yao's not a fat guy, but he was just too tall and he wasn't skinny enough to have longevity. He was a big, thick, 7'6" guy. And that just says, okay, well, you're not going to be able to sustain that. Same thing with Zion. You're just not going to be able to sustain it. It's just too big, too large. All right. Humans are not supposed to be this big.
That's number 8 on the list. By the way, still two big Zion Williamson fans here.
Prove us wrong.
Number 9, it's on you. This is your last one.
Okay, I'm not. Oh, is my last one? Ooh, yeah. I kind of wanted to do our predictions as my last one, but
we can throw that to end it.
Okay, fine. Here we go. Steph Curry breaks the all-time three-point shots made. Sorry, is that how you say it? Three pointers made. There we go. Steph Curry breaks it in the 2021 calendar year. How far off is he? 140. He needs 140. Give or take.
He's 140 across. Sure. How many more weeks of basketball here? 1, 2.
It's gonna be tough. It'll be tough. He's gonna have to average 5 3-pointers a game to do it.
Essentially 10 weeks.
Yeah, 5 3-pointers a game, and it's his. Less than maybe 4.8 3-pointers between now and December 31st.
This is how good he is.
Break Ray Allen's record in 2021.
This is how good he is. We know he's breaking the record. We've known that he's going to break the record for a while. We're now setting a deadline to it. We're putting a timer against it.
Yeah. I just want you to do it by the end of the year. He's going to do it in January. If he slows down, he'll do it in January. Like, say, third week of January. It's going to happen. But is it going to happen in 2022? Or is it going to be happening in 2021?
What's the average he needs? Five, maybe?
I would say 4.8. You know, he did 5.3 last year. He averaged 5.3, I think, 3-pointers last year, which is an all-time high for him. That was the single best mark he's ever done. So if he continues at that pace, which is, I think it's unsustainable, right? You can't sustain 5.3. That's crazy. He only had 2 in game 1. But if he's able to do it, he will beat it by December 10 at that pace. So maybe we dial back a little bit to 4.7. He should be able to get it before the year ends. Do you think he takes the all-time record? You know, I love records. I love records. I love all-time records. And I love Steph. Is he going to pass Ray Allen by the 31st?
You want to see the matchups? You want to see the matchups between now and then?
Sure, let's look at the defenses. Yeah, what do you got? Show me.
Clippers, and without the home away thing, right? Because it's just too long a list. Clippers, Kings, Thunder, Grizzlies, looking good so far. Thunder again, Hornets. Pelicans, Rockets.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Hawks, Wolves,
Hawks
Bulls,
defensively.
Bulls, Hornets.
Those are bad. Hornets, okay, yeah, bad.
Nets, Cavs, Pistons, Raptors. I'm just in mid-November. Sixers. Oh, there's a matchup. Sixers.
Sixers,
Blazers, Clippers, Suns, Suns again, and then. He goes Spurs, Magic. That's 25 three-pointers made in that weekend.
Yeah.
Blazers, Sixers, Pacers, Knicks, Celtics, Raptors.
Knicks on the road?
Knicks. If he's playing in Madison Square Garden, then I'm in on your
bet.
He's
doing that day. He's doing that day.
No, it's at home. It's at home. It's at home. Okay. Kings, Grizzlies, Suns, Nuggets to end the year. 29th and the 31st, two Nuggets games.
No terrifying defenses there outside of the 76ers. And that's if Ben's playing too. If he's not, then they're not as formidable. Yeah. Yes. By 2021, yes.
Bad. That just tells you there are a lot of defensive threats to Steph Curry in the NBA.
Plus, remember, when he does beat Ray Allen, I think he's going to beat Ray Allen by like 500 games to do it, too. I mean, it's some number. I don't know what the number is, but it's in the hundreds of how quickly he's been able to do this. Again, cementing Steph Curry, greatest shooter in NBA history. I don't know if that's even up for debate. That's probably, of all the things we've said today, probably the most automatic, right? Steph Curry, best shooter of all time.
Oh, yeah, that's the sky is blue.
That's easy. And you don't have to be from a certain generation. You don't have to do the whole BBM thing. I think that's a universal truth.
There's a lot of Thunder games there. I feel good about that. Where can I put money on that? It's a lot of Oklahoma City.
All right. Yeah, the Rockets. Woo, that's going to be easy. He's going to do it on Jalen Green's face. Just a little.
Hashtag B'nai Pride. Hey, you're not allowed to. Hey, don't you dare.
Sorry.
You know it's against the law. It's against the law.
Go.
Hashtag B'nai Pride. Here's my last thing. Number 10 on our list of just random NBA things. Adele.
Ooh.
Adele, part of the Clutch gang, the Clutch family. Dating Rich Paul.
Sure.
Seems to have another incredible album on the way. The single has been out. We've had wives fighting husbands for no good reason, just in order to be able to have reason to play Adele. I saw this post on TikTok that said, like, excuse me, I'm just gonna break up with my boyfriend this weekend so I can play Adele.
Yeah, no, my wife had a listening party in my office, and she dimmed the lights and just did all this. And I'm like, well, what's the big Adele quote again? Oh, it's divorce, baby, divorce. And I'm like, you're really into this song. Like, am I supposed to worry about like where we are? And she's like, oh my god, among them. Among them. I'm like, what? Why?
I was
you're not supposed to be excited.
I was asleep at like 2 a.m. and I'm like, you know me, like waking me up when I'm asleep is kind of like impossible. It's my great flaw. I wake up a little bit, and then my wife's not next to me, and there's music playing, right? And then she's holding our 4-week-old child, right? And singing the Adele lyrics to our child, right? And then I was like, why are you up? And then she just gives me a look, right? Like I interrupted a moment. And I was like, all right, whatever. You're singing the new Adele to the kid. All right, okay. I go back to sleep. The next day, I'm like, something not right about that. And then I look it up. And then Adele on her latest album. And the quote is, this album is going to explain to my son why me and his father are divorced. And I'm like, damn you, Adele.
Why are you enjoying this?
You, Adele. Anyway, all that to say, this is what? The second Laker game that she's attended now because of Rich Paul, who Rich Paul finds a way, man. Always in the headlines. Ben Simmons' agent, things like that. You think if this relationship kind of holds strong, you think Adele gets brought into the free agency meetings? Like, you think if there's an athlete out there and Clutch wants to sign that athlete, hey, I want you to leave your agency, come to Clutch. Let's have lunch.
Is she part of the pitch?
Yeah. Let's have lunch. You show up to the lunch, right? Like, say, for example, you're Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say Jalen Green wins Rookie of the Year, has a great rookie season or whatever, and gets told, hey, leave your agency, CAA, CCA, or whatever his agency is. Come to Clutch. Let's have lunch. Just come over to the house, right? And then he goes over to Rich Paul's house, and Adele's there. Braun is there. Draymond's there.
So we brought it up. Prior to you posing the question, we talked about your wife. I talked about my wife. It's, hey, Jalen Green, come over. Let's talk about it. Let's have lunch. Bring your girlfriend. And Jay's like, what? Well, really? Why? No, trust me. Got it. Trust me. Bring your girlfriend. And she brings her girlfriend. The girlfriend's freaking floored. If like, oh my God, they pulled out all the stops. Like, what is Adele doing? Of course, girlfriend doesn't know that Adele's dating Rich Paul. They just think that like that's a big flex move, that they got the power to do something like that. Adele's there. Now, Jalen's a little upset because like, wait a minute. Why did you do that? Well, she's going to think about breaking up with me. But then she's going to see how me, like how happy the girlfriend is. And you're like, oh my God, you even care about my relationship and my family. This isn't just an organization. Yeah. You know, it becomes that narrative. And then boom, it's a selling point. Yeah. If you've got an A-list partner, you bring them to the meeting.
And then Adele pulls the girlfriend aside and says, they're good guys. Huh? They're good guys, love. They're good guys. Right. Rich will take, my British accent's off. Rich will take care of him, love.
And then Ben Simmons comes in with his Australian like, get the fuck out of here.
Come on over, mate.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, no, I absolutely, yes. If you're dating an A-lister, you bring the A-lister everywhere. Everywhere.
I just love the fact that Adele is front row at Laker games now, is going to be a fixture.
Yeah.
I'd love for her to go back on Instagram Live and just talk about why the Lakers lost to the Warriors game one. Just what your thoughts on it are, Adele. Like, tell me more. Tell me more. But yeah,
are you terrified about the Lakers this year? Are you?
I don't expect a championship. And if you don't expect a championship for your team, you get to enjoy the season a whole lot more. I don't think this is going to end well for Laker fans. So I'm ready to be entertained.
Now, did you feel that way prior to the season starting or after the showing that they had against the Warriors?
Oh, no, I felt it prior. Like, I actually was encouraged by what I saw in the first game. I think that there were some things there that really, really are exciting, like AD playing as well as he did.
Yeah,
falling down a couple of times, getting right back up. That's right. Really just number one on the 80 list of things.
Hitting the threes, pulling up from distance. I mean, my goodness,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and then
LeBron, and they're missing guys. They got some injuries there. So yeah, I think the Lakers are going
to
be fine.
I've fallen into that trap before. What am I going to say? What do you want me to say? Hey, soon as we get Wayne Ellington back.
Well, I mean, there's Ariza too. Hey,
43-year-old Trevor Ariza. As soon as we get Trev back. There's my classic story, right, of how much I was a Laker fan before, and I was telling people in school, I was like, you know, soon as Chris Mim gets healthy, just watch out. We just don't have Chris Mim on the roster right now. And then we traded for
gets right. Watch out. Right.
The year we traded for Ramon Sessions, I was like, oh, we got a point guard. Ramon Sessions, we got him. So I don't fall into those traps anymore.
Okay, right. All right, let's do this quickly. The awards this season. Who do you got? MVP? Wait, this is your show. You're supposed to ask me.
No, I love it. I love it. Okay, yeah, cool. Run it through me. MVP, I'm picking your guy. I'm picking your guy, Luka Doncic. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I know I agreed with you on the Trey parts earlier, but because I think it was a much more sound argument than I had initially anticipated.
I mean, the Trey thing isn't he's going to win, right? I just think he's going to finish higher, and it's very hot takey if I'm going to use the phrase.
Oh, that's
right?
That's worse for my prediction because I have Luka winning MVP, and you have him at least being third.
Yeah, well, but my MVP this year I think is going to be Steph. I think what he did last year, while clearly he shouldn't have won it, it was Jokic's to win. But I think he's going to be able to carry some of that over to this season and then have a better win total for that team. I think Steph's going to do it. I think Steph's just got one last MVP award in him, and it's this season. Again, maybe the season that he gets his little record here before 2021 ends. Maybe that narrative.
Let me tell you, if he does it in December, that's going to push... That's going to push some early energy towards his MVP campaign.
Yeah, yeah. So Steph's my guy this year for winning the MVP. Mm-hmm. What are some of the awards? Defensive Player of the Year? I know Rudy Gobert gets freaking at least a favorite to win all the time. But
can I bet the field? Can I bet anyone but Rudy? Can I get bonus?
Yeah. Go. You just don't want to see him again?
Literally anybody but Rudy Gobert. Rudy Fernandez could come back to the NBA, win the Defensive Player of the Year, and I wouldn't.
Rudy Fernandez, the actor, can come back from the death, from the grave, and win it, and I'll be happy. I'd like to see Giannis do it again. I think that would be fantastic, and he's been great. I mean, I know we're only one game in, but some of the blocks that he had just that Nick Claxton, who's pretty good at a lot of spring to his step. Just, oh my God, I think we're going to see some hellacious blocks. And what I love about Giannis, he doesn't care about getting dunked on. He doesn't care about being an Instagram post.
Oh, he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care about airballing the free throws. That's what's special about him.
That's amazing for a Defensive Player of the Year run. So,
Around that,
I want Giannis. I don't know if he's going to win, but I want it.
Around that, is there? And we haven't seen it in a. Well, have we not seen it since? What, GP?
Peyton? Yeah,
a guard.
It'd probably be Drew if that were the case.
He's not the best defender on his team, so that's why I have a problem.
Right,
kind of,
right. You're right.
Anticipating that Drew gets, I see why Drew's probably the best perimeter defender in the NBA.
Sure,
but I just,
I mean, there are other guys that don't have the star power, though. You know, say a Matisse Thybulle, for example, is a really, really high level defender. But of course, there's no star power there. You have to have a little bit of star power to be considered for this award, right? That's why Tony Allen's of the world. There's those guys that just don't have the star power to be. They'll make all NBA defense, but they're just not going to do they're not going to be perennial winners of this award. Even Rudy Gobert's got some star power behind him, right? So I'm going to say, I'm going to go Giannis. That's it. Just going Giannis. All right. Just for the hardware. Okay.
All right.
Most improved player. This is always a fun one because this could be freaking anybody. So that's why I was like, my predictions for this never are right because they're just so difficult to predict most improved player. Who do you have? Do you even have one yet?
It's tough to pick most improved because they have to be good enough to have potential to rise up. But they can't have been too good last year. Otherwise, most improved. You didn't shock us. The leap wasn't that big. Right. So, you know.
I thought Luka should have got it. I thought Luka should have got it most improved.
But that's the thing. They almost never give it to those superstar level guys, right? And that's a great tragedy. I mean, the award in itself, I guess, is flawed in how people vote for it. Darius Garland.
Strong. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Strong year, strong end to last season helps kind of carry over into.
And it's an award that doesn't need a winning record.
Sure.
Like Rookie of the Year doesn't need a winning record. Yeah. You could still suck and get the award. Yeah. I'd probably go with him.
Jaren Jackson Jr. for me, because all the tools have always been there, just been injured all the time. Looked fantastic to finish up the preseason, though preseason, season, whatever. But I think a year healthy, we're going to see a guy who, again, sorry for the defensive bias, that is so good on the defensive end and definitely a contributing factor on the offensive end of what is a pretty, it was a decent Memphis Grizzlies team. I'm going to go to Jaren Jackson Jr., most improved player.
All right. Okay. Should we do Rookie of the Year?
Sure. Hashtag Pinoy Pride. Come on, hurry. This is going to be the shortest conversation of all time. Jalen Green. Yes.
Okay, fine. He's going to score the hell out of the ball.
Yeah. Efficiency is going to be shit, but
it's never hurt a Rookie of the Year campaign. Never in the history of the NBA has it hurt a Rookie of the Year.
100% right. 100%.
Do you even want to do Coach of the Year?
That's the most boring of the awards.
Because here's the other thing about Coach of the Year. If your team is good, you never get it. Right? Like, would Pop get it like once ever?
Yeah, right.
Like Phil Jackson like has no Coach of the Year awards or something like that. So you, like most improved, have to be expected to suck, and then you don't.
Thibodeau.
Ooh, New York.
Yeah. New York's gonna be better. New York's gonna be better this year. And they're, people are gonna get excited about the Knicks being good. And maybe Thibodeau gets it.
I do not have Jason Kidd winning it for the Mavs.
Oh,
I'm going to go Rick Carlisle back in Indiana.
Oh, Indiana. Yeah, strong. I can see that happening. Anybody else here? Steve Nash is a bad coach, no? He's a bad coach, right? Can we admit that?
I don't want to say what I...
He's a bad coach.
I'm so tempted to say what everyone says about guys in Steve Nash's position, but in this case, there might be some truth to it. And I hate myself for saying this, right? But
bad coach.
How much worse would the Nets be if I were coaching them?
Right?
They'd be worse. They'd be worse for sure.
But I don't know.
But how much worse? 3 games worse?
I don't think they're going to be worse. I really don't. Because I honestly, this is so yabba. I think I could put a better lineup out there.
Paul Millsap doing on that team?
I don't know. Playing freaking 11 minutes and scoring 2 points a game. I think he's still somewhat a serviceable NBA player, just not on that team.
Exactly. And, like, what is he doing on that team? Yeah. They have Blake Griffin.
Right. The rotations are rough. And
Bruce still Brown got a DNP, right?
That's crazy. He was one of their best players last year. I mean, when I say one of their best, I'm talking about one of their best 4 or 5. But why DNP that? Rotations are rough, man.
He must have said something to Steve Nash. Like, sure. That must have been a personal thing. It can't be a basketball thing. But maybe again,
the whole Jason Richardson thing with his wife.
If it were you or me there and James Harden said, I'm not playing for 20 games, that's how the team gets worse because there's no way they'll listen to us. So maybe it's the cachet. Maybe it's the 2 MVP trophies that he brings by every now and then to practice to be like, shut up. None of you have this. Not even you, KD. You only have 1 MVP. So
6-man. It's that. 6-man, which is heavily leans on scoring off the bench.
Ooh, 6-man. Is either Bogdanovich coming off the bench for either of their teams?
No, I don't think so.
They're both starting?
Certainly not Utah. And then I doubt for Atlanta that he's coming off the bench. I think the guy that comes off the bench this season, we've yet to be seen that, but it would be Gallo, Reddish.
One of Reddish or Hunter, right? Because it can't be both of them.
Right.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. Do you have one?
Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero's look good early.
My son's named Tyler, so I'm going to hitch my wagon to Tyler.
Oh, Hero. Yeah, there you go. Tyler Hero. Yeah. Desmond Baines, another strong one for Memphis once Dylan Brooks gets back. I think Mo Bamba. Well, say we're going to go names. Let's go names. You take your son. I'll take my name. I think Mo Bamba's got a chance to be most improved player, by the way. Improved player. I think he's...
Hey, that's
he's
not a... I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah, he might win that too. Maybe Mo Bamba. It just depends. I mean, I think he started... in game one, and he started towards the end of the preseason. I think a lot of that is because maybe we would have Jonathan Isaac in the rotation right now because he's recovering. But once Isaac comes back, it's going to be Wendell Carter or Mo Bamba is going to probably come back off the bench. And if it's Bamba, I say he's got a good shot at 6-man of the year.
Because he held out, and it's been an unprecedented kind of situation with his contract and team situation, if and when Ben Simmons does come back with another team, does that qualify him again for Rookie of the Year? I think it does. I think he got it the first time around. What's stopping him now?
It's the new accent that he's going to flaunt that gets him. Oh, this guy's new. I've never seen it.
I got it, mate.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm... Okay, where is he going to land? Who gets him? There we go. Who gets him? Are they trading Dame straight up? Dame said no. Of course, he wants to stay in Portland.
There's
a lot of Dame buzz going around, though. Maybe McCollum. Maybe trade him. Maybe one of those guys from the Blazers. Who's going to get that? I know a lot of this has obviously have to do with contracts and picks and all of that stuff, but...
I want it to be Minnesota. Because the Sixers are going to have to lower the price, right? And they're not going to get Anthony Edwards. But some package built around Beasley, D'Angelo Russell, they're just going to have to eat it. And all the picks. And then just give me Kat and Ben Simmons and Anthony Edwards. That actually might be a team I'm excited to see.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good one. All right. Toronto? No?
No, no.
Nothing there?
No, I'm good. Pascal? Oh, hell no. No. Why am I gonna get? Why am I gonna get like a worse version of Ben Simmons?
Sure. Okay. Fine. Any other words we're missing? MVP, Most Improved, Rookie of the Year. We did 6th Man and Coach. That's it, right?
Executive of the Year, I'm walking out.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We're out of there. Well, enjoy the NBA season, everybody.
Thank you.
An amazing one, and I'm sure you're gonna talk a lot of NBA in this podcast. So enjoy these podcasts. They're great. Love your show.
We'll roll you back in soon when there's more than one game each per team to talk about. And then at the midseason, we'll talk a whole lot of hoops before then, but the midseason we'll check up on our predictions and see how fearful we still are about the forecasts. But yeah, thanks.
I never get any of these right. And what's worse is I never get any of the politicians that I like, the ones that I want never win. So I don't know if I'm just bad luck. Having said that, let's go Ping Lakson.
are you reverse jinxing it now?
Absolutely reverse jinxing. Let's go Ping. Let's crush it out there next year. Let's do it. Come playoff season. Like, election's going to be like right there with the playoff time. Woo! Go Ping.
But is Ping a man of destiny?
Yes. And who's his VP? Tito? Let's do it. All day.
Wrong Sata to root for. Thanks for hanging out, man. Appreciate you, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes. And you know, I'm like itching for you to get back on GTWM. But at the same time, what's more important, of course, is you doing the dad thing and just soaking up every second of it. You will know this because I think you posted this on Instagram or you posted this on Twitter or whatever, but you said every cliche is true once you become a parent. And those cheesy cliches that new parents do, it's actually real. It does happen. So let me give you one. The shit goes by quick, man. And if you don't really embrace every second of it, you're just going to live a life of just, you know, somewhat of a regret. And then you're going to fire out four or five kids to make up for the void, right? But enjoy every second of it, and if it takes some time for you to get back to GTW, don't worry about it, but we'd love to have you back as soon as you can, but not at the expense of missing out some time in these amazing moments. So
I'm running back up there now. Good times with Mo, the podcast, you know where to find it, but make no mistake, the one with Sam and used to be me, but now Ramon and whoever else will be kind enough to warm my seat for now, that's the best show ever.
Thanks, buddy. But yeah, we'll have you there when you can make it back. It'd be great. But thanks for having me here. Hello, everybody out there, and enjoy the season. Like we said, it should be fun.
Thanks to Mo for hanging out. One of my best friends in the world. Continue to support the originator of Philippine podcasts and the best out there. Good times with Mo. You can find it where you find this podcast. A quick reminder, again, this episode is being brought to us in partnership with Prometheus.com. The Prometheus and Call to Arms collab tee is available between now up until Tuesday, October 26th on Prometheus.com. If you blink, it's gone. You'll never be able to order it again. So to everyone who's asking for merch around the pod, now's a chance for you guys to go out and support the pod in that way. We would greatly appreciate it if you guys go and cop a tee. It's a great way to support the podcast and to allow myself and the amigo Toby from HR and Double T Alan Martin to keep this thing going. A great time to shout them out. The amigo Toby from HR. Of course, this podcast made possible as always and produced by him. Original art by Alan Martin. And of course, original theme music is a track called Tropical Vikings by Careless Music Manila. Shout out to King Wow, Mr. Brett Jackson as well. I think we got to update the opening theme. I got to go call Brett up. All right, there's more on the podcast. We wanted to talk sneakers a little bit. And I thought, hey, who better to talk to than the one, the only, at Cousteau? Here's Jock Slade. Back on the pod. The man, the myth, the legend. Oh, Jock Slade, at Cousteau himself.
You're far too kind, bro.
You are the favorite guest on the podcast. You are the most requested guest on the podcast. To everybody, let me take you behind the scenes a little bit of how this masterful, this just well-coordinated guesting on this podcast worked out. My friend Jock Slade here posted an Instagram story of, as he usually does, of just some shoes he has in his collection. Sort of a, hey, remember these? Of the Nike Elite pack of signature sneakers. And I saw that and I was like, man, that takes me back. I shot him a DM and I was like, hey, are you doing anything in the next 14 hours? You want to jump on the pod? And now we're here.
Just like that. And that's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen.
How have you been, sir? And how's the start of this new NBA season working out for you so far?
I've been well. I'm happy that basketball is back, as I'm sure most of us are. I am a little sad the Lakers lost game one last night to the Warriors. Although I did kind of expect the Warriors to win with Klay back and Steph kind of going on a tear. Like Warriors have a good team. Warriors have a good team. I'm not upset the Lakers lost, but I'm mad the Lakers lost, if that makes sense. As a Lakers fan, I always want them to win, but I get it. I get it. The Warriors are good this year. They're going to be really good.
Klay on that bench, raring to finally come back, is, you could tell it really fed those Warriors with a lot of confidence. They're like, it's different this year. Okay, before we get any further, overreactions. What are overreactions after one game of watching our Los Angeles Lakers play?
What overreactions? I don't have any, because like they got a gel. Like seeing Russ. Seeing Russ was interesting. Like seeing Russ in a Lakers jersey, and like you with Russ, you get the good and the bad.
Right.
So like all of that kind of mixed together, it's like, all right. I was excited about Russ, but I didn't really think about like kind of like the baggage that comes along with Russ. So that's my only overreaction, is like, was Russ the right decision? But Russ was the right decision.
The brightly dressed in a sleeveless top elephant in the room is named Mr. Russell Westbrook. And I've been telling my friends this. Because they're like, hey, how you feel about Russ? And I was like, Russ is a superstar. Anytime you can get a superstar on your team, superstars figure it out, man. And then after the game yesterday, my friends were right to message me and go, how you like your superstar now? I was like, look, at the very least, it's going to be fun. At the very least, it's not going to be a boring season, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Like, I have no qualm. Russ is going to do what Russ does, and he's going to be there when we need him, and that's what's most important.
Yeah, yeah. Let's keep telling ourselves that over and over and over and over again.
He'll be there when we need him. He'll be there when we need him. He'll be there when we need him.
Okay. Well, the reason we got together was it's a new NBA season, and you know, this conversation kind of got kicked off by you posting the Elite series from years and years ago. Feels like yesterday, but it's been years ago. Of what Nike basketball used to do once the playoffs rolled around, right? They would come out with an elevated take on the signature shoes. I think the pairs that you showed were the LeBron 9s.
The Kobe 7.
Kobe 7.
And the Hyperdunk 2011, I think.
There you go. There you go. That sounds right. I believe you. You're the
expert.
No one fact check this. But
no one fact check this, yeah.
We haven't seen those in a while. The Elite series. We haven't seen All-Star packs in a minute. There used to be a whole lot more, how should I say, purposeful sneaker colorways when it came to, say, opening night and things of that nature. Now that the uniform rules have changed to allow anyone to pretty much wear whatever they want, someone got to talk to Javon Carter mismatching the Kobe 6s. I mean, come on, man.
It is not an energy.
He was wearing the Grinches on his left foot, and he was wearing the pink Kobe 6s on the other. It is not a vibe.
Did anyone ask him why? I haven't seen anything. Did anyone ask him what was going on?
He's been doing that since last year, the playoff run in Phoenix. He was wearing the same two shoes, and then now he's at Brooklyn. The jerseys are black. I don't know if it's better or worse that the mismatched pairs just jump out. And I was like, 2011 was the year to mismatch.
We're not there anymore.
We're not there. Come on, Javon. I'm not sure if I want to say do better or just do less.
I think it's do less. I think it's do less. Because
there you go.
Less would be better.
Well said. But okay, what's your read, and what's your take on I guess on court performance, signature shoes, the climate, and you know, just how the landscape's looking now in 2021?
Signature shoes are hard, man. It's hard these days. They don't have like the cultural cachet that they used to have. Mm. They just I guess for lack of a better word, they just don't matter as much anymore. Like it used to be a big deal. You know what I mean? Like back in the, when like that elite pack came out, like LeBron and Kobe were king. Like you, there's like there, you just, there was nothing that could be said about what LeBron and Kobe were doing. And that just isn't the case anymore. Those like signature shoes almost need help now. Like
right.
The athlete can't carry them by themselves anymore. It's almost like we need to get Virgil or Travis or I don't know, Klot or whoever to collab with these signature guys as opposed to collabing with Nike Sportswear in order to give the shoes some weight in for them to like really enter, even enter into the conversation. Like you don't see people talking about, oh, that red colorway of the LeBrons is coming out or that red colorway of the KDs is coming out. People don't really have those conversations anymore. It's all about the collabs, sportswear or SB sort of stuff. Unless Kanye does it or Salehe Bembury, like it's just, no one's really talking about anything outside of that world.
And you know, would you agree when I say it's kind of like a product of just how well the lifestyle sportswear, Jordan brand retro, how they've kind of elevated their side of the business and how they've kind of grabbed the cultural cachet, to borrow your words, and really made those the more in-demand products. It's not that yeah. signature sneakers or signature on-court shoes were doing anything wrong necessarily. It's just that there's only so much, right? In terms of bandwidth, yeah. in terms of things that people want, pay attention to, spend for, and the hype, quote unquote, that's a big wide word that you could use 100,000 ways, but the hype yeah. kind of really floated off to one side of the table. And
of the table,
Do you see it circling back? Do you see it maybe coming back? A lot of people haven't been playing basketball. The game's coming back, especially there, you know, in the U.S., people have access yeah. to courts now and things of that nature. Do you see it maybe circling back? And is it through the lens of collabs?
I would love to see it come back with a focus on performance, but I do think that like the world's going to have to open back up for that to kind of happen. Like people aren't just having the ability to go out and play as much as they used to. And the shoes have gotten almost too technical. Like it's really a whole like technical when it comes to sneakers is a whole different thing now. And so like it changes, it really changes the conversation around sneakers. And then like, I think the collabs is going to be a way to get them back into the conversation, but it also, I feel like a lot of it's driven by the resale market. Like it's right. not about necessarily the sneakers anymore. It's about what's reselling is what people want. And I think that just, you know, just comes along with the growth of sneakers. But I think once this phase of the world of sneakers that we're in passes, it'll get back to the point where it's like, it's what you actually like. And if you like the LeBrons, cool. That's the ones we go for. If you like those KDs or those PGs or the Greek Freak threes, like that's what you're going to go for. As opposed to being like, oh, these gray and white plain ass dunks are reselling for $100 over retail. So that's what's hot right now. It's like, bro, they're gray and white dunks. Like there's nothing.
They're not even SB dunks.
Not even SBs. Right. It's like there's nothing special about them. Like they don't, it's not like, okay, like you can argue that a Jordan 1 and a dunk are pretty much the same thing, but at least
these days,
a Jordan
yeah.
1 has Jordan attached to it. You know what I mean? A dunk has like, there's no one anyone can quote or remember that's attached to a dunk. They'd be like, oh, Earl the Pearl Monroe wore these. What? Who? Like, no, stop. Like no one has anyone that's attached to dunks. Dunks are only popular because they're reselling, which is a byproduct right. of SBs reselling. And the world of sneakers wasn't educated enough to know the difference between a dunk and an SB dunk. And so they were just going mad. Like, oh, it's a dunk. I'm going to buy it because those are hot right now. Everybody's buying SBs. I'm going to get a dunk. It's a dunk. And I remember even Nike SB tweeted out when Nike opened up the Nike ID for the dunks.
Right.
People were tagging Nike SB and Nike SB put out a tweet like, don't tag us in your Nike IDs. These aren't SBs. These are dunks. It's a difference.
That ain't us.
That ain't us, bro. Like, that ain't me. Like, I know. No. Mm-mm.
It's an interesting place where we are in sneakers. Oh, I mean, that's what we love. I guess living in the space that we live in, right? Because one, we're never happy. I'll just put that out there. I'll say that about myself. I'm cognizant. I know this, right? Because I say this a lot. People who work around basketball, like if you listen to analysts on TV, who talk about the game, they don't really like the game. Like they complain so much about so many threes. No one's tough enough. Everybody's friends. I was like, dude, like you work around basketball. You don't really like basketball. The same thing can be said about people who quote unquote work in sneakers because a lot of the time, we're not happy, but you know, it comes with it. And I guess I will say this, if I were to be magnanimous, there's a maturity level that comes with getting into sneakers. I think that the reason why there's maybe not as much education as you would say is because there's a lot of young people that are getting access to these shoes, young people getting access to a much more democratized resale market that allows people to purchase, resell. Doesn't matter if you're 13 years old or if you're our age. And you know, it happens. There's a maturity that comes with it. I remember when I was new into sneakers and I saw some Fusions, some Jordan Fusions, and I was like, what? These are the best shoes ever. It's a Jordan 12 and an Air Force One. And now looking back, I'm like, well, okay, maybe I overreacted a little bit there.
But you know, that's the beautiful thing about sneakers. We all get into it based on the hypes to an extent. Mm-hmm. Like I got into it because I wanted to wear the same shoes that the older guys in my neighborhood were wearing. And I'm sure they were wearing the big hype thing of that moment, which got me into it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, you know, a Jordan 4 from a Jordan 5. And I was just like excited, you know what I mean? And so you just kind of get into whatever you see, but then as you get into it, you start to learn more about the shoes. You start to learn about the tech, the quality, how comfortable they are, like the colors, the purpose of them all, like all of that it seasons your palate. I guess,
there you go.
For lack of a better word, you know, your palate, you know, you start to have a more diverse palate and you got to go, oh, okay, I don't necessarily need it to be the sweetest thing in the world. It can be a little sweet and have a little tart to it. And you know, so you start to develop this flavor profile of what you really like when it comes to sneakers. And, you know, that's going to happen for everybody and everybody goes their own direction, which is the beauty of why there's so many different styles of sneakers. Some look the same and some don't, but there's something for everybody.
And as what any frustrated parent might say, I'm only mad because I love you. Yes. I'm only mad because I care.
Absolutely.
And if there's one thing that's a credit to us and at the same time is our great flaw is that we care a whole lot about shoes.
We might care too much there about shoes if we're going to be totally honest. And that's, I think that's part of it. Like, you know, we complain a lot, but I think it's not complaining. It's because we just want them to do better. We see the potential and we know you can be so much better, but you refuse to. And that's where the frustration comes in.
Yeah. And this is also us yelling at like professional point guards in the NBA when they turn the ball over. We're like, come on, man. Come on. Meanwhile, we can't dribble 15 times with our left hand in a row. And it's the same with sneaker brand, sneaker designer. So if you're a sneaker designer, we have a lot of friends who are within the industry listening to this going, look at the two of you thinking you know better. You're right. We think we know better. We probably don't, but you can't talk us out of it.
Yeah. And I'm cognizant enough to say, I know I can't design a sneaker.
If I tried drawing one, it sucks. If I had to design
sneakers, no one would buy sneakers. Every Nike would be bankrupt if I was their designer. Let's put it that way. So I understand.
We've had three projects, a total of four shoes over at Titan, where we've, you know, actually designed a collab, two with LeBron and one project, a two-shoe pack with Jordan Brand. And when it comes to story building, when it comes to trying to find inspiration for it, Like, I'm in the room. Like, I'm in the middle of the huddle. I'm talking with everyone. When it's time to put pen to paper, the designers look at me and say, you can go on lunch now. Like, it's good. We got this.
We got it. Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you for coming. Take your post-its away. No.
Put the pencil down. Pencil down. Thank you.
No, they're like, what are you doing with a pencil? Like, why'd you bring a pencil to work today? What did you think was going to happen? And I was like, no, you're right. You're right. All right. I'm going to let you guys do the work.
Since you mentioned Titan and collaborations, anything you want to, you know, just share, you know?
I will share this. You'll be my first call as soon as I can make the call.
As it always is.
I'm not confirming, I'm not denying anything, except for the fact that I am contractually bound to not confirm or deny anything.
Okay. All right.
But as soon as I can make that call, you are number one on the call list.
Got that. Appreciate that. All right. I understand. As soon as you can say, you'll say. Okay.
Hey, as my friend, you mind if we talk about something else and I keep my job now?
Sure. Absolutely. Let's do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. circling back to On Court Shoes. We have our quote unquote observations, but mm-hmm. we do have things that we love that we're seeing on court right now. I mean, if anything, and that's the one thing I always try to get to, right? Anytime people talk about sneakers, they have their complaints, maybe they have their observations, they have their things that they wish for. But there's a whole lot of things that we really truly love and are fans of that are happening right now. I wanna start off by saying that I think that what is being done on two specific lines, I think is really, really impressive. One, the fact that the team over at Team LeBron has done what they've done, 19 signature sneakers in with the LeBron 19, I think is really spectacular. And just the fact that they're always able to kind of load that line with so much tech and always push the boundaries of what a basketball shoe is and isn't is impressive to me. That, and the second thing I want to say is the KD 14. The KD 14, I think, is probably the cleanest KD we've seen in a really, really, really long time. And I'm such a big fan of the line. And I'm such a big fan of just how that shoe looks on court. Those are two things that I love what they're doing with right now.
No, I'd agree. Ever since the KD went through a couple of rough years, and it's good to kind of see them get their footing again. Mm. They are one of, if not the most comfortable basketball shoe right now. Like, that Zoom Strobel board is just incredible. I love it. They've done such a great job with that. And again, for LeBron to be on 19, that's just impressive on its own. Like, that, there's really nothing else you can say besides, like, you know, kudos to LeBron and the team behind him. What I'm really excited about is really the stuff that's still happening with Kobe's line. Guys like AD and DeMar DeRozan, they are pulling out some PEs that are just fantastic. And I like the Kobe's hold up. Like, you can play in a pair of Kobe's today just as well as you could play in them back when they originally came out. So I'm anxious to see where that relationship with, like, his estate and Nike basketball falls. Cause I would love to see them continue that line and, like, retro and put some of those out either in their original form or the Protro versions that, you know, that Kobe coined. I'd love to see those continue. So that's kind of where I am.
That leads me to kind of where I want to wrap up with is, let's say, for example, we get the call. It's the call that for years we feel like we deserve, but we've never gotten and we're never going to get. But let's say, for example, we get the call and they're like, hey, Jacques, we're thinking of retroing something from Nike basketball. Here's the full catalog of everything we've ever done.
Oh, my God.
Which one do you think we should do? Model and colorway.
That is a terrible question.
That used to be an easy question for me because the Kobe 6 Grinch was my, like, that was the one I missed out on. That was the one I was too broke to buy when it first came out, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And then I saved up some money, and out of frustration, I bought something else completely just as an anger buy. And then a week after that, Titan restocked the Kobe 6 Grinches here in the Philippines, and I wasn't working with them yet at the time. And I was like, oh, but I'm broke again. So I missed out on them twice. So that used to be my easy answer. But then those have gotten pro trod. I've been lucky enough to get my pair. So I'm sitting very happily on my Kobe 6 Grinches. So now it's a tougher question for me. That's why I thought I'd just pose it over to you.
Jeez, that's such a difficult question because there's so much good stuff. I mean, like Kobe 5, 6, 7, like the Kobe 10, Kobe 9, gosh,
what you got?
Like the LeBron 8 is so good. The KD, like the KD 4.
KD 4s? Oh, can you imagine some KD 4s right now?
Oh my gosh. I mean, then you can go all the way back to like some of like Charles Barkley stuff back in the day.
But I'll give you 3, but it has to be specific model and colorway.
Okay. KD, the Weatherman was a KD4. KD4 Weatherman.
Uh-huh. Nice.
That'd be a good one to come back. For LeBron, I mean, they already brought the ones that I would say was like the South Beach and then the Sprite, or I don't know if they technically called it Sprite. That Sprite colorway, the ones that really got me excited about when it came to the to LeBron, and then Kobe. They had a black and red. I don't know. I don't remember what they were called. There was a black.
Look at us
and
both jumping red into the Google machine now.
Yeah. There was a black and red 6. Let me see. I guess they just... Oh, the All-Star. It was All-Star. Oh.
Mm.
Yeah, the All-Star Kobe 6. Oh, I didn't realize... They brought this back?
Oh, they brought those back. Yeah.
Oh, well, shows you how connected I am to the sneaker world these days.
Well, there you go. That's a second chance of you coming out and you missing it. That's like me and the McGrinches.
Yeah. I had a pair, but I destroyed them. I destroyed them, like beat them to the ground, like played in them so much that like the midsole, like I was past the outsole to the midsole, kind of destroyed them because I was playing in them so much.
I'm cheating with my 3 because they're all from the same year. They're all from the same pack, 2012 All-Star Game. There was a year of the Galaxy Foams.
The Galaxy.
Right? The year of the Galaxy Foams. But the Galaxy Foams takes the cake, right? Like, that's the one. That's a fork in the road moment. One of the big reasons why we're working where we're working right now is because of the Galaxy Foams.
Yeah. Moment, that was the wildest All-Star Weekend sneaker-wise, I think, ever.
If people make a documentary about how, like, sneakers became the way they are, like from 2010 onwards, there better be 15 minutes just on the Galaxy Foams because that changed the game. But along with the Galaxy Foams, the signature sneakers that came out that year, the LeBron 9 Galaxy, the Kobe 7 Galaxy that I have a beat up pair of here somewhere, and with all due respect to the Weathermans and the Nerfs, that silver KD4 Galaxy.
Silver
my KD4. Goodness. Oh, I still have dreams of it to this day. This day.
I wanted the Weatherman. I wanted the Nerf. I never could get those.
I had a pair of the creamsicle, the orange.
The orange ones?
KD4s. They were a size too big for me. I didn't care.
We do. Sometimes you got to do it, bro. Sometimes you got to do it.
You do. Indeed, you do. So there we go. So that's what we're saying when we get the call. Nike basketball.
We'll call. Nike basketball.
We're ready for the call. We're ready for the call. Hey, I'm glad you called. We were just talking about this.
Right. Yeah. I was just talking about you. Glad you called. Must have been on my mind. You know how the universe works. So what? Let's get started. Yeah. I've got them written down right here. Yeah. Right here. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Might as well call Nico. Yeah. Might as well call Nico because he has a plan too. We kind of worked on this together. Let's make it a pack. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Cool. We got it. We got you. No worries.
No charge. No, you got my address, right? You got my address.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just send them over.
By the way, when's the next sneakers drop?
Right.
Yeah. Hello? Are you still there? Hello?
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 You're choppy.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Virgil's number.
Sneaker.
can you conference Virgil in? Hello? No? All
right.
They're gone.
Right. Right. They'll call. They'll call.
They'll call back.
They'll call. I'm not worried.
Thanks a lot for doing this, man. I appreciate you, and I wish you the best. And I can't wait for what's next on the channel. What are we waiting for here from at Cousteau?
What's YouTube? Next?
From the Olympics to everywhere else. I mean, you know, I know you hate when I gas you up, but I mean, you are everywhere doing big things. What is next for you, sir?
Next, right now, I'm doing a. I don't even know if I can talk about it, but I'm doing something with YouTube. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the social justice space. So there I'm doing something with them there with them. What else is happening? I'm doing a show with the PGA Tour called Voices. And it's about more being the golf world being more inclusive. So that's coming down the line. Doing some stuff with Snapchat. That's actually happening this weekend. I'm doing a talk with them in New York for The Verge. Doing some stuff with some charities for LA Family Housing and for Shoes That Fit to get shoes for people that are transitioning out of homelessness. So that's coming up. I have a video that's going to go up to going on my channel about that, trying to get people to donate money because we can get 100 pairs of shoes for $3,000. And,
wow.
For people transitioning out of homelessness that, just getting proper shoes that fit and socks and stuff like that is a big deal. So we're trying to make that as big as possible. So I have that coming. And then just, the normal unboxing stuff, the Snapchat show, the kickback is going up, once or twice a week. So I'm just working, man. I'm trying to feed the family. I got a nephew
Sounds
in
boring.
The Philippines. Yeah. So I got a small nephew in the Philippines just came. So I got to make sure when he comes to the U.S. that he's taken care of. So,
I almost named him Jacques. I almost named him Jacques, but the wife said the C, the Q, and the silent S and stuff like that would be a little too complicated for him in kindergarten, and he might hate me for it. And I was like, you know what? Good point. But no. In my heart, I almost kind of maybe named him after you. That should count for something.
That definitely counts for something, and I appreciate that. That definitely counts. I can't wait to see him in person. That's what I'm really excited about.
Oh yeah, no. One day, there's going to be a knock on your door, going, "Well, you asked for it. Now we're here for a week.
Where's the spare room?
Come on,
we're here.
Move the dog. I'm taking over the couch. Bring the baby right here.
You are always welcome, bro. Anytime, you're always welcome.
The man who does, well, he rolled it out for you, but the man who does a million things and is the best in the world at those million things. Jacques Slade, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for dropping by, buddy.
You're too kind. Thanks for having me, man. Always appreciate it.
Thanks to Mo. Thanks to Jacques. We appreciate both of them. Sending out love to them and their families and to you for finishing the episode. We greatly appreciate it. This episode of the Call to Arms Pod is presented in partnership with Prometheus.com. The collab tee is up on the site. Go and get yours before Tuesday, October 26th. That's the only window where you guys can purchase the collab tee between the podcast and Prometheus.com. Shout out to our friends from Titan for making it possible. I appreciate you guys for welcoming Call to Arms back into your homes, into your cars, into your ears. There's more episodes coming up. We're sort of kind of getting our groove back after paternity break. And the NBA season is upon us. So send us your thoughts as always, and we can't wait to be talking to you guys again. Peace.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep a reel in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet because I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another trip.